Hello, Grace Community Church. We have made it to Lord's Day 9 in question and answer 26. But before we do, we'll remind ourselves what the Apostle Creed says, and then we'll jump right into question 26. So, the Apostle Creed reads, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. So the past few weeks, we've been looking at how the writers of the Apostles' Creed, divided the creed. They divided it into basically the Trinity, and so that led us into a short study of the Trinity. So now we're going to get back to the Apostles' Creed by looking at the very first phrase of the creed. And question 26 of the Heidelberg Catechism takes us there. The question is, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Because that's how the Apostles' Creed starts out. So, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? And you might think, well, I believe, you know, what it says. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, who's created heaven and earth. But it gets deeper than that. Let's read the answer. Maybe we can kind of see where this question is pointing us to. So, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What do I mean when I say that? Here's what the answer of the Catechism says. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father. Because of Christ the Son, I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this sad world. God is able to do this because he is Almighty God, and desires to do this because he is faithful Father. Wow, what an answer. The theme of creation, this ex nihilo, that God creating out of nothing, created everything there is. The sovereignty of God and his providence is in here. God upholding and ruling everything in his creation by his eternal counsel and providence. And so let's start with creation, as the answer does. And so in the beginning there was God and nothing else. There was no stars, no sky. There was nothing. There wasn't even black. There was nothing. And it's hard to even comprehend what that even is. But so you would say, well, so is it just a dark universe, you know, just basically nothing? Well, it wasn't even a dark universe. It was nothing, nothing at all. And so only the Trinity existed in perfect harmony and unity, and that was the only thing that was before the universe was created, was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when God spoke, and things were created. And so God told us in Isaiah 44:24, he says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb, I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone. And that same God who created the universe out of nothing is the same God who still upholds and rules his creation by his counsel and by his providence. And there's a comma after that word providence, and the writers then say this. It says, providence is my God and Father. So the God who upholds the universe, the stars, the planets, every single dust particle in the entire universe, and tells it where to go and directs it on where it should be and how long it should be there and how big it should be or how small it should be. That very same God that does that takes mountains and grows them and takes hills and pushes them down and takes the water and says it can go this far and no further. And that's just here on Earth. You got a vast universe here that God places each thing. And that person, that God that does that, is your Father. God is so involved in this universe and in your life. This is a big, massive God. And this big, massive God is actually your Father. He really is. He is your loving Father. And so sometimes you just got to sit back and think, man, it's hard to even believe this, that God of the universe is my personal Father. And that's what the Catechism is getting at here with this Apostles' Creed that we've read over, that you've probably read over in your life, or you know, said out loud in a church service or somewhere, that, and you just read that part of the very beginning of the Catechism, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and it's gotten a good little ring to it, but you didn't really realize what you were actually saying. And maybe some of you did. I never did. I never realized, oh, this is what the Apostles' Creed's getting at, is that this huge, big, massive God, Creator of all things and creating them out of nothing, is really my Father. So when you recite that first line of the creed, you should instantly think, when you say Father, you should think, oh, what a great Father I have. And Jesus gives us a good glimpse of who this type of Father is, and that's in Matthew chapter 6, in the latter part, verse 25 says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing?" Because Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. You know, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than the birds? Jesus asked. And in Matthew 6:30, about clothing, you know, if God's clothing the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And so Matthew 7:9-11 says, or what is man? Is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will you give him a stone? And if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? And no father is going to do that. And so Jesus says, if you then, being evil, knowing who you are in this fallen world, know how to give good gifts to your children, so you're evil, you still know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? So that's just an obvious answer of, oh, my Father is so much greater than me as a father or you as a father, and we still know what to give to our kids, good things, take care of them, food, clothing. And yet, our Heavenly Father is so much greater than that, because he don't have an ounce of evil in him like we do. Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sowed for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? So just an understanding of God the Father and his care and his love and his sovereignty and providence in our life. And also, the Catechism wants to remind you that this is not a universal fatherhood, that God the Father is not your Father by default. And that's why the writers snuck that in there in the answer. It says, is my God and Father, and so you're thinking, okay, why? Because of the Son. So is my God and Father because of the Son, the answer of the Catechism says. So you only have God the Father as your Father because of what Jesus the Son did on your behalf as a believer. So what's the question again? What do you believe when you say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth? And so here's the next line. I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this sad world. God is able to do this because he is Almighty God, and desires to do this because he is Faithful Father. So it says, I trust God so much that I do not doubt that he will provide. And so, first when I read that, I thought, can this be said of me? And now I ask you, can this be said of you? But not only provide, but that He will provide whatever I need for my body and my soul, and will turn to my good whatever adversity He sends upon me. Wow. Now at that point there's going to be some division. And what I mean is there's vast areas of the Christian faith that would not like that or agree with that line, that He sends whatever adversities upon me in this sad world. That's not my God, they would say. That my God does not do that stuff. That's the devil. God has no control over that sort of stuff. The devil runs that deal. The devil runs the adversity side of things in this world. So if anything bad happens, that's came straight from the devil. And God doesn't have any control or any say-so in that. What trust, though, could you have that God will turn it for my good or turn it for your good if He is not the one who sent it? And that's a simple question, but yet has profound implications in your daily walk with God. That our God, who can send the storm, is the same God that says only this far storm and no further storm. That He sends it and He has control over it. This is the same God who can predestine His very Son to be crucified so that countless of millions will be saved on the count of Jesus Christ's work. If God is not sovereign over Satan, then we cannot be certain of anything in this life. And so you have to understand that if God is not sovereign over Satan, then we cannot be certain of anything in this life. You need a God. You need a God-entranced mind that sees God in everything. But not just God, but the point of the question is He is your heavenly Father. He is your Father, not just some powerful being. No, He is powerful, but He is also your heavenly Father who is almighty. And He does everything for your good and His glory. He works out all things, Romans 8:28 says, that all things, you know, of course, is being filled with good things and bad things, that He's a God who works all that, and He's a God you can trust, because why? He is your Father, that's why. Therefore, do not doubt. All of this theology is moving us towards trusting our Heavenly Father more. The Bible is straightforward about our suffering and does not hide away from it. And so trusting in God's provision in this sad world is a must for a Christian. And the writers of the Apostles' Creed knew that. And Pastor Kevin DeYoung, he also knows that. This quote right here, he says, "Trust, therefore, does not mean hoping for the absence of pain, but believing in the purpose of pain." After all, if my Almighty God is really Almighty and He's really my Heavenly Father, and He's really my Heavenly Father, then I should trust that He can and will do what is good for me in this sad world. And then he says, "Parents, don't you wish your kids had more faith in you and trusted that you knew what was best and were always on their side?" I imagine God wants us to be the same, that same kind of faith for us. And that's true. And then the answer ends with this nice little summary, just to make sure you're on the same path as the writers and as the writers of the Apostles' Creed. They say, God is able to do this because He is Almighty God and desires to do this because He is faithful Father. So the next time you read the Apostles' Creed, read that first line with this in mind, that I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Which that means this is the one who rules and controls, and he has the whole world in His hand, and He is my loving and caring and faithful Father. Your Father is God. That would be the point of question 26. Your Father is God. So I hope you have a wonderful week, and remember that you have a Father and a Creator, the Creator of heaven and earth, on your side. So you have to ask yourself, who could be against you?